Hospitality 101, Ed and Nina Hindy, owner and operator of Taste of Texas Restaurant.
Well, I'm Gail, and I'm getting ill Nell is Hospitality 101, by the way. She stands at the doors and hands out bulletins every week.
Yeah.
Thanks,
she
Brooke.
Does. She's sweet as me.
We're glad you're here.
Thank you. I'm glad you're here.
We worked hard at it. We obviously are a better restaurant today than we were last year, let alone 38 years.
I think the two of you are better partners than you. I've known Brad.
Greg is a good guy.
Greg, well, and Greg,
Give him a hug and say that's from Dad.
I'll do it. I will.
And this
they'll come back next year because they decided it's going to be so impactful.
That was perfect.
Hey, that was so good. Thank you so much.
And that really did happen with Kristen.
Oh, man. That's such.
And
so y'all will have.
This 10:15, is that a hard out of 10:15? Thank you for the opportunity.
I love you. Anyway, so here
So nobody walked out, nobody fell asleep.
That's a bonus.
Nobody's throwing food at us. What are they handing out? Really?
Hi, Ed. I'm Ken Laurie.
Hey, Ken. How you doing, sir?
You here.
What a delight to be here.
I heard your testimony Christmas Day driving into church. That was Second Baptist.
That video that they did is amazing.
It was. I just was so inspired.
Well, that happened. Golly darn it. It happened. That's exactly how it happened, and God was there. But when God reaches in the middle of a disaster and pulls you and your two best friends out and spares your lives, how do you not stand and proclaim about it?
Would you consider speaking to our cancer support groups?
With our what?
Our cancer support group here.
You know, I don't have any idea what the schedule is.
Well, it's you know, we do it every other month. You know, and we have 50, 60 people here. But it's just about giving people hope and talking about their experiences and the mighty hand of God.
I'll shoot you an email or something like that.
Yeah, it's perfect. Okay. Thank you for that. Yeah, that's great.
And I'm going to do
that's great. Okay, no. Okay. We're ready. Yeah. So good. Couple of people still coming in.
There's more seating over here, and there's free seating up front. Can't be free.
And they looked a little bit closer.
Come on. I don't spit. I promise. Had that fixed. There you go. I understand that. My bedtime was about 4 minutes ago. And tomorrow night we have to stay up until 1 a.m.
Hey, I'm Don Munn. I'm the singles manager here. Can I get you anything to eat?
Snack I'm good. I'm good. Thank you very much, though. We're actually on time. And since Nina stepped out, we're not starting until she gets back. So.
You'll still be on.
I was born in the morning, but it wasn't this morning. You don't start without your wife. Plenty of room up here. Plenty of room. We actually throw Mardi Gras beads, so stay close. How are you? Plenty of room. Come on in. All right, you want to practice hospitality? What is your name, sir? What is your name? Dale? Dale. Everybody turn and welcome Dale.
Hi, Dale.
There you go.
Nice.
Almost sound like an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, doesn't it? Hi, Dale. Welcome. Well, welcome. My name is Ed Hindy. My wife, Nina, and I own and operate the Taste of Texas restaurant. This is my...
Thank you.
This is my much better half. We actually... is our life together. Mm-hmm. We've been married for 41 years now. Wow. It's a tribute to her patience and what counselors finally taught me.
Yes, it is.
I learned how to be married. I didn't know. I mean, I knew I wanted to get married, especially when I saw her. I said, I want to get married to that. I didn't know how to be married, so we had to learn. So we're still working on it. Matter of fact, currently I am sleeping in the big bed, so we're okay.
Oh, my glory. Maybe. We'll see.
Find him coming on the couch.
Yeah.
Don't be encouraging that type of behavior. It'll happen naturally all of its own, baby. Thank you, sir. Anyway, we're in the restaurant business, and we spent our lives in that, matter of fact. We're the generation where we had jobs at 13 years old. In fact, you know, there's not a whole lot you can trust a 13-year-old with. For some reason, they thought they could trust me with flipping hamburgers and cooking French fries when I was 13 and mopping floors. And 51 years later, here I am still doing it. So there's job there's performance for you. There's progress. We're in the people business, and we're... I'm a Bible teacher at Second Baptist Church, and Nina is is active in our class as well, and is our social director. And we tend to the needs of 212 employees, two daughters, a daughter-in-law and her husband, and eight grandchildren, seven point eight. It's on the way, and all the various activities. So we're in the people business. Y'all are class directors, teachers, basically ambassadors for Christ, mm-hmm. and you're in the people business. So First Baptist Church asked us to come and visit with you about hospitality, how we see it, and how would it apply to the church. And that's why we're here.
We started at Second Baptist Church because our son, Ed, went to Katie Taylor High School, and he played football, and he was in an accident playing football, and he had a Joe Theismann break of his leg, and that's a very serious injury. Broke the tib and the fib, had a steel rod from the knee to the ankle, and
Hang on, I got to do a welcome. Turn around.
Welcome.
We are so glad you're here.
We are so glad you're here. We're practicing hospitality. I love that. So Ed had an accident, played five sports, and was out of sports completely because of his injury. And he came home at Christmas and said, I'd like to go to Second Baptist High School. I can't play sports. I need something with better academics, and I'd like to move. I didn't even know where Second Baptist was. I didn't. We live in the four walls of the Taste of Texas, and any of you that have been customers for very long know that we are, we live at 10505 Katy Freeway. We actually, when we built the new building 25 years ago, the architect designed the second story to be our home. We were just going to live there because we live there. And it would save so much time to walk down the stairs. We decided against that when a customer rang the door late one night for a reservation.
At our house.
At our house.
Was 20 miles
on the backside of Katy. Yeah. He drove. And so we decided against that. But we, Ed wanted to go to Second. And he got in Second Baptist School, and it was life-changing because, friends, they loved him into their school. 4 days after he started Second Baptist, his best friend at Katy Taylor High School committed suicide. And you talk about tough on a 15-year-old. So they just surrounded him and loved him in a really unique way. So we decided we would try going to church there. We were members of Tallawood, and Ed will tell you about that. We loved our Tallawood family so deeply. But now our kids had a new life at this school, and they wanted to go to school. They wanted to go to church with their school friends. So we decided to try it. So one Sunday morning, we got everyone up and getting three kids dressed and to class on time. We distributed them, and they had no trouble just going into class, and they were fine. Then we went to the big desk in the atrium at Second, and we found out what class we were going to go to. And they gave us a class number, and we walked up, and there was a closed door. I mean, closed door. And we opened the door, and we went in, and everyone was standing and visiting with their people, with their friends. And we walked in, and we just stood there. And, folks, we're in the hospitality business. We can talk to anyone because we just, that's what we do. We serve 1,000 people a day, and we try to visit with all of them. And we're there every day, and what we do is people. But it is so uncomfortable to step through the door of a...
Welcome. There you are. Welcome. Come on. You can do better than that.
Welcome. He's glad to be here. So we stood very uncomfortably and kind of looked around, and no one spoke. Several long moments that felt like a lifetime, and all of the sudden, my husband is backing out the door that we had walked into. He's just backing out. No one noticed. No one noticed that we came. No one noticed that we left. And we stood in the hall and just kind of went, now what do we do? The kids are there. We could go sit in the worship center and wait till worship. But down at the very far end of the hall, the door was open. And there was laughter coming from this room. And Ed said, that way. And we walked in the door and we were embraced by everyone that saw us. They came and said, we're so glad you're here. Who are you? How'd you get here? And Ed said, I'm not telling. Do not ever go in room 4101. It is not fun. And that was 25 years ago.
Yep.
And we're still there. Loved in by hospitality. And tonight we're going to share hospitality. When you meet someone, you have 4 seconds to make a favorable impression. Eye contact and a smile, and they're twice as likely to remember you. Eye contact and a smile, and they will remember you. In 4 seconds, you have 4 seconds. We stood in that room, 4101, probably 4 minutes, so long as 4 minutes of my life.
Yeah.
and we backed out the door. Found an open door, and we've never left.
I didn't grow up in the Baptist church. I grew up in the Episcopal church. I never had a Bible. I think we had a prayer book that they kept for us at the church in the pew. Didn't have to take that home with us and memorize anything. And I met my lovely wife, and we got married. We started attending a community church, non-denominational, very non-threatening. And after a while, we had gone to another community church, and we were active in that and liked it. And I even had a Bible. I did. You know? And found out, you know, there were 66 books in there. God darn. And could work my way through at least a couple of them. And we had three kids at that time. We had a 10-year-old, 7-year-old, and a 2-year-old. And the 7-year-old broke her arm and had to have pins put in it, and it put her in the hospital with staph infection, osteomyelitis, and the treatment for that was 40 days of an IV. And basically, she was in the hospital room. So we farmed out our kids to relatives and family. Went out and bought a mattress and put it on the fold-out couch, and we lived in that room at the hospital. It was right down the street from the restaurant, and I would literally stay at the restaurant, work till about 9 o'clock at night, and then come to the hospital, and we'd spend the night and then spend all day in the hospital and start all over again, 40 days. Tallawood Baptist Church, wonderful people, good customers, and their choir ate there all the time. I knew those guys, but, you know, I went to Baptist. You know, I'm not me. I'm not going. I'm not setting my foot on Baptist soil. I'm just not going to do it. And so the choir started writing prayer cards to our family and mail them to us. And they're basically just praying for your family. You know, your daughter's in there and praying for you and Nina and so on and so forth. And the cards in this hospital room, Nina started putting them up, and they covered an entire wall, 3x5 black postcards. Yellow postcards covered this entire wall. And those postcards, those prayers, broke down the barrier that I had. I remember going under that label, Baptist Church. And I said, you know, I think I got this all wrong. If there's a church I want to go to, somebody that would care for me and minister to me when we're, you know, in 911 moments, that's where I want to go to church. So the first Sunday we get out of this place, and they can, you know, unplug her from that machine for a couple of hours, we're going to go to Tallawood Baptist Church. I are apparently a Baptist. I just didn't know it. So we go, and we put, you know, the 10-year-old in his class, put the 7-year-old in her class. I take the 2-year-old, and we get put her, you know, the third kid, basically. They were just raised in a papoose. You know. The first one couldn't be near a germ. The third one's kind of like, sure, go play in the dirt. It's She had been basically raised at the restaurant. Nana would, you know, basically, you know, bring her in the carrier and put, you know, put her down in the middle of the kitchen, you know, right next to the fryer. What could happen?
No worries.
And we eventually had her when she was a toddler. You know, the lady that was a bartender for us basically took a shine to her, and she loved Linda, and so the two of them were just inseparable. And she spent all of her mornings behind the bar with Linda while Linda was setting up, and she'd have a little glass of orange juice and a little piece of popcorn or something like that, and just loved it. So we show up at the Baptist church, and I put the 2-year-old in the 2-year-old Sunday school class. We go to worship. We had a ball. I said, this is great. I love this church. Go back and pick up the kids. And we show up in the room where the 2-year-old is. And the lady at the door, I said, last name Hendy, and you've got Kristen here. And she looked at me and she goes, oh. I thought, well, that doesn't sound good. And she said, are you in the restaurant business? I thought, hey, yes, we are, as a matter of fact. We have this fledgling little restaurant that's barely making it. We're right down the street, Taste of Texas. You ever heard of us? And she said, I've never heard of it. I said, how'd you know we're in the restaurant business? She said, well, we have a little table and sink in here, and your daughter apparently felt right at home because she made the entire class margaritas. Not as a group, one at a time. On the rocks, with salt, top shelf, up, whatever you want. Frozen? You want frozen? We got a blender over here. I can make a fire. And it started with the teachers. So two things happened. First of all, we moved the daughter up to the administrator upstairs and got her out of the bar. That's a good idea. And then we noticed that even having done what I had thought would be the unspeakable in a Baptist church, we were still welcome. Mm-hmm. right where we were. Sick kid, restaurant owner, and so on and so forth, and we never looked back. We were welcomed and loved and cared for at a time of our deepest need. I would present to you that this wonderful church, and we love First Baptist. We had come here on Sunday nights, downtown, know Greg, know a bunch of people on staff here, dear friends, know a bunch of people that worship here and they're integral in the life and the ministry of First Baptist, and we love you guys. I would present to you that your website, your sign out front, even the one with the nice waterfall, everything you're doing is great, but it hasn't brought one person in. What brings people in? People bring people in. That's exactly right. You're in the people business. People come to church in situations like we were, because they were invited to church, person to person. That's how people come to church. They don't come because, you know, they heard an advertisement on television or a billboard or whatever. All those things have their place. There's nothing wrong with them. But the effective ministry is one-on-one. Invite me to church and show me the ropes. The average person does not come to a church, no matter what the label is in the church, because they don't know where to park. They don't know what door to walk in. They don't know what room to go to. They don't know what to wear. Some of you people actually walk around with 5-pound Bibles. Scares the dickens out of people. Later when they read what's in there, it'll scare the hell out of them. And if they don't have the key to the door, they don't want any part of it. And we expect people, because we run an ad or put an ad in a magazine or whatever we do for advertisement, we expect people to run in the door, and it just isn't so. The biggest failure in the restaurant business for restaurateurs is to sit inside of our building looking out the windows. We spend all day inside. I see it from the inside perspective. How many of y'all see our restaurant from that perspective? The answer is basically zero. You see it from the real perspective, which is the person on the outside looking at the building. We need to go stand outside this building, walk up the freeway about a block, and look at it and see what's here. It's intimidating as the daylights. And people don't know what to wear, what to watch, how to fix their hair, what do you allow, what you don't allow. Do we stand up? Do we sit down? Do we kneel? Do we pray? Do we lay out flat on the floor? What do we do here? They don't know, and the only way they're going to know is if you meet them right where they are in their lives and invite them to church. Invite them. Invite them. You'll come pick them up. They'll ride with you or you'll whatever. Or I'll meet you right at the front door, and then we'll all go to lunch afterwards, and then you get a chance. Okay? That's the best outreach you can. It starts with hospitality, and hospitality, as Nana just explained it, is the art of making people feel welcome. And the welcome is the invitation, and I will meet you. You and I are going to church together.
Hospitality is the quality or disposition of receiving and treating guests and strangers in a warm, friendly, and generous way. Hospitality is commanded by God. Matthew 25:35 says, "I was a stranger and you invited me in." I was a stranger and you invited me in. Hebrews 13:2 says, "Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some have shown hospitality to angels unaware." Hospitality is a responsibility of leadership. And we forget that. We forget as leaders that it is us inviting them in. This past December, Greg called and invited us to come to the Christmas pageant. And friends, we work. December is, we just work. We work a lot. Our industry, you work a lot of hours. And, you know, we've cut way back. We try not to ever work more than 65 hours a week. Last week it was 72 hours. We're there a lot. I mean, it's a busy business, but December is early morning to late at night. 7 days a week, over and over, and joyful. It's fun. We can't wait to get there. But Greg called and said, come to pageant. It's been years since y'all have been. Come. He made that invitation, said, come. And it was so hard for us to get out the door, to get here by 7 o'clock, to fight the traffic, to get here. We got in the door, and it was the highlight of our December.
Absolutely.
It was the blessing of our December. It was a time that we could leave that and come and praise the Lord, enjoy the Lord in such a sweet way. All it took was a phone call. We had seen him in the restaurant, and I think he thought we were pitiful. We looked really tired. He said, these people need out of there for a minute. And he made that invitation, and we so often forget to make that call. Ed teaches at Second Baptist, and he's taught for 17 years, and he taught for 10 years with the most remarkable woman, Malby Kelly. And Malby understands the invitation. No one has ever visited our class that has not gotten a personal note from Malby. It is her ministry to make people feel welcome. She is intentional about welcoming those that are strangers. And she does it so faithfully and so well. It is a responsibility of leadership. 1 Timothy 3:2 said, the overseers, the elders, the teachers, the directors, us, are to be above reproach, faithful, temperate, respectful, and hospitable. And we often forget that hospitality aspect of ministry. It's a requirement of leaders. Hospitality indicates true discipleship. Job 31:32 says, no stranger has had to spend the night in the street, for my door is always open. How many times do we unintentionally close the doors to our church? We forget to invite them in. We forget to invite the hurting friend. We forget to invite the friend that is struggling. We have to practice hospitality with people that are might be difficult, because they're the ones that really need in our doors. It is our responsibility to invite them in.
The restaurant business is based on making the customer feel welcome when they come in the door. And I tell our management team that I would love for them to have developed the sense of appreciation for customers that we have, but I can't afford for them to do it. And the reason I can't afford for them to do it is we were going broke. And when the customer walks in the door, the only thing standing between you and bankruptcy is that chance that that customer is going to come in, enjoy themselves, and go back out the door again, and maybe come back and maybe even tell a friend. So the only way out is to make that customer happy. That is a sense of urgency for hospitality that we feel in our business. Now, we're not in the financial challenges that we were in the early years, but we still have the same passion for it. The other night we were at the restaurant, Tuesday night, and this gentleman, young man, walked up and he said, where's the restroom? And I said, well, come on, I'll show you. We don't allow people to point in the restaurant. If you come in the restaurant and say, where's the restroom? And somebody points, write their name down and send it to me. We will. It's immediate grounds for retraining. We're serious about that. We walk them, not into the bathroom. We walk them to the door and say, right here. I don't want to go, you go that way. That's not hospitality. So anyway, this young gentleman walked up and he said, I didn't know the guy. He looked like a Greg Mott Jr., really, what he looked like. Okay, just imagine that. At about 25, 27 years old. And he walked up and he said, so I'm walking down the hallway. I said, hey, we're right down this way. First time here. You know where the restroom is. Odds are you probably haven't been here before. And he said, well, I haven't. He said, I'm driving through town. I said, where are you going? He said, well, I've been in Florida. I'm going to L.A. And I'm driving across the country. I said, how cool is this? He said, I said, you with somebody else? He's not by myself. I said, well, what brought you here? And he said, I looked up on Yelp, and this was the number one restaurant on Yelp, and it had great reviews, and everybody said that they loved the food and the service, and it made them feel welcome. And this is a guy on a phone who can't, I mean, he's lucky he found I-10. That's the only way. Coming from Florida to L.A., he just happened to be on I-10. And he finds us, and we're on I-10, and he says, this is the place where supposedly people feel welcome. And I marveled at that. Anyway, I spent 30 minutes showing this guy around. Then I remembered he had to go to the bathroom. I took him back. His knees together like this. And just showed him through the restaurant. He said, this is fun to do. Let me show you what we do. And he said, you have such a passion for your business. I said, well, yeah, but it's joy. It's fun. We get to make people happy. I mean, they come in hungry, and we send them out the door full and happy. This is the greatest business in the world. And I get to work with 212 employees.
211.
After last night, it's now 211. You know, but,
somebody pointed.
Yeah, somebody pointed. Now I'm going to point. No. And he marveled at it. Anyway, he had a great dinner, and he left, and I said, okay, that's one. We serve 1,000 people a day. That's one. We have to make every one of them feel like that.
Let me tell you about a missed opportunity. He was sitting alone, and it was the end of the evening, and we were about to grab a bite and go home. And instead of including him at our table, we grabbed a quick bite, and he sat alone. And Ed said, oh, we missed an opportunity to have that open door. We could have included this young man and learned about his life and perhaps shared Jesus. We only played Christian music at the taste. And that's more for the staff than the customers. Because our staff is young, and it is sometimes the only calm spot in their life. It is sometimes the only safe place in their lives. So we have a motto for our young people. Our motto is smile or die.
Apparently there's some legal complications with the second half of that we're still working on, kind of to make that happen if they don't smile. But they get the idea.
We do a smile check. Do you ever do a smile check for yourself? What does your face look like to those that now, see you?
Tell them what the smile check is.
The smile check, we do a staff meeting at 10:45, and we talk about anything that's going on, what's happening. Menu additions, wine additions, things that we're focusing on, things we're drilling down on service-wise. And then at the end of the meeting, they line up and they walk past and we do a smile check. And it's Ed's greatest joy to send them to the back of the line.
They have to look me in the eye, take my hand. Yeah, this is great. Take my hand, look me in the eye, I have to see pearly whites. And if I don't see it, if they look away, or I don't see the teeth, they go the other way. They don't get out of the room. The room has walls, and I'm at the only corner. And it's, you'd be simple. Well, all right, now, that sounds a little silly to some of you. Who would have taught them to smile?
No one.
This is the wonderful millennial generation, the X's or the Y's or the Z's or where the heck they are, where they got a participation trophy just for showing up. They didn't have a part-time job. All the guys with hair my color, did you have part-time jobs? Yeah, but no, when you were in school.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's what we did. We had summer jobs back when they'd hire people for next to nothing and let you just, work and learn something. I mean, one summer when I was 14, I shoveled Parrish Stables out off of Westheimer. Used to be way out, but I guess. And I shoveled out stalls. And I tell people when I'm around politicians, I said it prepared me for a life of dealing with politicians. That's what we did. And so I learned how to show up. I learned how to shake hands. I learned how to look at the boss. I learned the fact when somebody, you know, what was the business? You had to learn what the company did and figure out how, you know, who were the customers and how do I help with this, whatever. The average person coming to work today has no clue. None. So we're in the training business. So we have to train them to do that. And the fact is that the National Restaurant Association did a poll years ago, and they found that 63% of people who don't return to a restaurant did so because of an attitude of indifference from the staff. And I think that number may be low. It's not the food. It's not even the service. Somebody was busy or, you know, first day. I mean, you all are actually a pretty empathetic lot, you know. And it's not the cleanliness, and it's not the sign, and in the website, and in the waterfall out of the sign, or anything else like that. It's an attitude of indifference, you know. And the Texas Restaurant Association actually did another poll like that. They came up with a motto, "We're glad you're here." You got welcomed. You were, a couple of people got welcomed before you, but you got welcomed. Did you feel welcome when you walked in? If you don't answer yes, we're going to ask you to close in about a 15-minute prayer. You should feel when you walk in that we are actually glad you're here. And golly darn it, if we're not glad the customer's here, then we really have got some attitude problems we're going to have to deal with. The whole thing is projecting we're glad you're here to the customer. It's critical. It's important. And we train to that effect. We've got to do the same thing in church. We've got to do the same thing with our classes. We've got to do the same thing with the person that walked in the door. You've got to do the same thing with the person who's here that, you know, lives in, you know, way out of town and is just visiting an uncle, daughter, son, or whatever it is here. And they're never going to be members. They're never going to be class, but they're here. They're in God's house. And we are given the role of ambassadors for them. And it is very easy to get wrapped up in the minutiae of what we do and what has to happen on time and everything else, and we miss the most critical point, which is conveying and convincing the people that are here that we are here to serve them. It's not about us. It's not about doing church. It's about making them feel welcome. Nina's sister married a guy, wonderful guy, second marriage for them. He's my age, I guess, a little bit, maybe a year older, something like that. Known him for, 15, 20 years now. And he is, wasn't a church guy, that'd be to say the least. But it didn't stop us from praying. We're at the dinner table or out in a restaurant, we're going to pray. And guess what? He got to where he actually enjoyed it. He would hold hands with all of us and we'd pray. He had a daughter who is married and had, I think, a three-year-old, and they were pregnant with their second child. When she delivered, she started having strokes. And they said, okay, something's really wrong here. You know, 20-something-year-old women don't have strokes. Okay, and so the minute the child was delivered and healthy, they shot her in the CAT scan and started looking and found stage 4 cancer on her liver and her pancreas. Oh. Anybody knows anything about that? That basically is a death sentence. It's, you know, it's non-symptomatic until it's too late, until the fire's out of control. So she lived in Denver. Roger brought he and his wife and brought their daughter and her husband and baby, and they all moved in with us, and they were running back and forth to MD Anderson, you know, doing the best they could, putting up a valiant fight for it. I was going to teach Sunday school one Sunday morning while they were living with us. I said, Roger, why don't you come to Sunday school with us? Roger said, I don't go to church. I said, well, you don't have to go to church. Just come to Sunday school. He goes, well, you mean I don't go where the singing and the clapping is? I said, no, you don't have to go to the singing and the clap. We're not going to sing and clap, I promise. I can't sing, and I can't clap on rhythm, so they were okay. We're just going to do a Sunday school lesson. I'm going to teach, and then when we're done, he said, can we leave right after that? I said, sure. I said, we'll go get breakfast. Absolutely. He said, okay. All right, I'll do that. So he came. He had a pair of blue jeans on, a nice shirt, and he sat right in the front row. My wife sat right next to him. I was teaching a lesson. I'm not the deepest teacher in the world, but, you know, I try to make up with it for passion for the Lord. And Nina had her Bible, and she opened it up to the right book for him and showed him where we were, and he could listen and walk and see that the Word, and I was, you know, trying to relate it, how it works, and so on and so forth. And he was welcoming the people, and he said, okay, that was great. He said, can we leave now? I said, absolutely, I promise. Yeah, no good. He said, I haven't been in church in 43 years. 43 years. The next morning, I said, I got to go to a prison ministry today, this afternoon, Darrington, just south of town. I said, it's kind of interesting. Told a little bit about it, and he was interested in it. I said, I got to go. Would you like to go with me? And he said, you know, I would. That'd really be fun. I said, well, we're doing a convocation. Basically, it's a process within the Ilford. There's a seminary within the prison. It's a really great program. I'll tell you about it another time. So I said, if you'd like to go, I'll call you in, get you on the gate check, you know, your driver's license and such, and you can go. And he said, okay, great. What I didn't tell him was the convocation is a church service with clapping and singing. Have you ever been inside a prison? They have these big gates that when you walk through, they go, bam, shut, and you ain't getting out. And when he figured out what was going on, and I just started laughing. I thought it was the funniest thing I'd ever heard. And guess what? He knew the words to Amazing Grace and sang it with the prisoners, moved up and sat with the prisoners and sang Amazing Grace. How great the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but I can see. What was he scared of? It wasn't the singing and the clapping. What was he scared of? What would the people have done? Judged. He didn't want to be looked down on. Guys, people who have never been in this church are scared to death of walking in the door and having not be dressed right, not be looked at, not know what to do, not know where to go, that you're going to somehow, they're going to be, you know, they're going to be a pair of brown shoes and you're going to be a tuxedo. They're going to feel out of place and unwelcome and uncomfortable. And that is what we have to break down. Okay? Yes, the people that have been in a Baptist church since their fifth generation, that their parents laid the first two Baptist bricks in town, they're not the problem. Okay? The folks that are the problem that we've got to break down, the folks that haven't been in here yet, but God has wired them up that they need Jesus just like we do. But they don't feel comfortable here because they haven't been in it yet. Think about it that way, and you'll know what to do. You invite them, you meet them, you welcome them, you walk them in, and you show them that we're not this thing that they fear.
When we opened the Taste in 1977, we were tiny, and we borrowed $10,000 from my husband's family to open the restaurant. Most of that they borrowed, and we went broke. We worked hard. And we had the hospitality end of it down pat. We love people and we love the restaurant business. I started working in a drugstore soda fountain at age 13, and it's all I've ever done. I love it. Love people, love it. But how many of you ever came to the Old Taste? I'm so sorry. Good grief. We were clueless. We opened thinking we knew everything. I was 23 years old. Ed was 26. And we worked our tails off and we went broke. We don't do anything halfway. You may have gathered that. But we don't. And we went broke. And I started cleaning houses in our neighborhood in Bear Creek. I cleaned 4 houses a day, 5 days a week for 5 years. I mowed lawns. Ed would leave the restaurant and Saturday at 8 in the morning, he would exterminate the neighbor's homes because you could buy those chemicals without a license in the late 70s.
How we bought groceries.
It's how we bought groceries. And we went broke. And at the end of 8 years of working like that, we were $250,000 in debt. 9 house payments behind, our house payment was $355.41 a month.
Yeah.
We were broke. But friends, we were working as unto ourselves and not as unto the Lord. And the taste was about the bottom line because we were starving to death. We were working 100 hours a week, but we were failing. And we were working, trying to stay, keep from taking bankruptcy. And God just really, really turned it and told us plainly, this is ministry. This is your mission field. I have given you these young people. Now, what are you going to do with their souls? This is not about the bottom line. This is about saving souls, winning souls for Jesus Christ. The cornerstone on the outside of our building says, to God who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ever ask or even imagine, to God be the glory. The taste is our mission field. Our young people are our mission field. We love them completely right where they are. We get to work in the morning and we walk the four corners. We walk our building to pray the four corners of our building for all that God will bring in that place on that day. Have you ever done a prayer walk around this building? Walked and prayed for all that God will bring to you in this place? Pray the door as you come in. God, give us someone that needs to be here today. And God changed the dynamic. Beauty from ashes. Good night, nurse. When we finally lay it at the foot of the cross, friends, he takes our mess and says, I can fix that for you. Just give it to me. And he did. Now the Taste of Texas is the largest independent restaurant in the state of Texas. 30th largest independent restaurant in the United States of America. To God be the glory. All of you that know us know we didn't have anything to do with it. The Lord did that. It is his business. We give it to him over and over and over every day. We surrender that to him and give it to him. And look how he fixes our mess. We so blew it. We had this disgusting thing, and this does not leave this room.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean that.
Right.
We had this six or eight page menu. We were trying to be like all things to all people, kind of a Bennigan. Some of you remember that. Carol remembers that. Jason remembers that. 6-page menu. We had this disgusting thing on our menu called a chili changa. Who thought that was a good idea?
Taco Bell wouldn't even serve
it. Taco About that time, we finally gave it to the Lord. And I mean, we had so blown it. We gave it to the Lord. And about that time, our meat supplier came in the back door and said, I've got this product that I want you to try. And Ed, being Ed, went straight to the bottom line and said, do you not know how much money we owe you? This is an expensive product. It's called certified Angus beef. And our meat supplier said, I think if you really focus on excellence, I think the taste is going to change. I think you should try this product. It's the best there is. And God fixed our mess. Wow. The taste is our mission field. Our young people are important to us. We pay them to stay in school. We spoil them rotten. We love them like they're our own children. We reward them for their grades. We give 6 fully paid tuition and book scholarships to our staff. Last year we gave 61 $1,000 scholarships. Every student makes up to $800 every semester for their grades. We have a credit counselor. We have a Christian counselor on, two Christian counselors on retainer.
No charge to them.
No charge to them. I don't need to know the names. I just sign the bill. When they need help, when life is hard, when life is overwhelming, we've got two counselors posted that they can go to any time of the day or night. And one of our counselors was in the restaurant yesterday and told me he's got one employee that comes every day in crisis. God gave us that person for such a time as this in their life. For such a time as this. And God brings these people into our churches for such a time as this, for life-saving, life-changing grace and mercy and comfort and forgiveness and lack of judgment. They love you. I mean, really? Our two-year-old made margaritas?
It's true.
Really?
In your roles, in your classes, in your role as an ambassador for Christ, you know, you run into people, and as fixers, we'd like to all fix everything we run into. We would. And sometimes the fix that God has in mind for us is to welcome and to pray with people. Mm. I'm constantly stunned how many people don't know how to pray and don't feel comfortable praying, and they want somebody to pray for them. I don't know if it's where they were taught in their church background, wherever they were, or whatever religion that they called home, that they felt like they had to have somebody pray for them. I mean, Jesus, on the Sermon on the Mount, said, pray to your Father, you know, and let me teach you how to do it, our Father who art in heaven. And yet people look at us, every person in this room is potentially a prayer minister. The people in need look at you as like, if you can come and just, you don't have to fix my problems, just pray with me and accept me and just say, it's okay. You know, God's in the fix-it business. You know, and look what he's done for us. And we've had other people in our class. And let me encourage you. That's what we need to do. Sometimes we get so worried that if we don't fix every problem that's out there, it just wears us down. But dear friends I have in the ministry tell me that basically it, you know, trying to take on the problems of this world will wear them down and just empty them out, that there's nothing left. And that's not the business we're in. We're in the business of encouraging. We're in the business of introducing people to Jesus Christ and praying with them and walking along with them. Okay? God does not intend for us to be emptied out and basically rendered worthless because we overstressed on these issues. That being said, there's going to be some people that come in your door. There's going to be some people that come in your classes that are going to wear you down a little bit. I would just encourage you, just as Paul did in Galatians, where he said, do not tire of doing good. Don't stop. No matter how tired you are, no matter if you know you worked your tail off in some class function and some knucklehead got offended because you put peanuts out instead of popcorn or whatever it was, and wrote you a three-page letter and quoted scripture with it, don't stop doing good. Y'all get those too? So it's not just us. Yeah, all right. So we actually offended people by the color of the carpet and the chairs. I didn't know that you could actually spiritually corrupt somebody because the chair wasn't the right color, but apparently you can. And you just got to go, you know, they're just people. Paul said, do not tire of doing good. For if you will persevere, if you'll stick with it, you will reap a harvest for them. The fact is, people are stinkers from time to time. They just are. And if you don't like the smell of sheep, don't be a shepherd. You know, it's the way it works. If you're going to be in the sheep business, just understand from time to time, they just stink. It's the way it is. And you just have to look past that. Just like God looked past yours and mine. And he who forgave me my sins, I can certainly eventually learn to overlook others. That being said, I will tell you what Nine and I were grappling with tonight on the way over here. Not grappling with, this has been going on since Tuesday or so. And it just wears me out. We served 7,000 people last week. We get an email from guys. We have a website that says contact us, so we get an email. Somebody contacted us. And, you know, a lot of those are really like, we had the best time and you took great care of my, you know, it was a special place or, you know, whatever the event was. And I just want to thank you for it. Those are so wonderful and I love them, okay? But for every one of those, we get two or three where we did something wrong. And darn it, we do. We do make mistakes. But for some reason, from time to time, people will just make up the biggest line of bull I've ever heard in my life. And I don't know if they want a free dinner for four or whatever it is. That's my suspicion. And this guy sends an email, and I tell you what, if I read this and believe for a moment that we actually did these things, I thought, we're the biggest bunch of idiots in the world. We are not fit to run a barbecue, I mean a hot dog stand. This is pathetic. And so Nina, being the amazing lady she is, immediately she gets this thing. She gets on her cell phone. I wouldn't call this guy on my cell phone. I don't want him to have my number. She gets, that's the problem. And puts him on speakerphone, and we're listening in the car, and the guy goes into this thing. I've been a customer for 35 years and love what you're doing, but let me just tell you how bad you blew it. And then, and then, and then, and then, and then, and then. And finally, I actually had to get out of the car. I could not take it anymore. I lost my joy completely. This guy stole it. When he said that he was offended because three of the five people at the table had had gastro bypasses and we should be able to let them eat off the children's menu because they don't eat as much. Thank you. And my sweet wife is trying to...
Could you come to work with him in the morning, please?
My sweet wife is trying to...
Yeah.
My sweet wife...
I know. I know.
I want to have coffee with you. My sweet wife who continues to talk to this guy and is trying to do everything she can to pacify him and, you know, correct situation, go back to... Remember how we learned how valuable customers are? And I just couldn't take it anymore because I thought, this guy is such a stinking fraud. But you don't know. But there's this thing that we have at the restaurant. It's a wonderful thing. It's the happy thing. I love this thing. And if we didn't have this thing, I don't know that I would be in the restaurant business anymore. If you told me you could, I'd be in the restaurant business, you can't have this thing, I'm going to say, I don't know if I'm going to do that. This thing is very good. No. Well, yeah, there is. Yeah, absolutely. This thing is a unit with 56 high-definition cameras all on HD video with terabytes of memory stacked up with 30 days of history at my fingertips any time I want it.
Right over his table.
It is from the moment you drive on the parking lot. No matter where you park, the only time you are not on camera is when you go into the bathroom. And if it was legal, I would have them in there. Not really, but I would. So guess what? When we go back and run the video back from this guy and all the malarkey that he was spinning from basically how we were filming, not a single stinking word of it was true. Not a word. Now, what do we have here? It was. There, she's got it right there.
Which camera view would you like?
Live. That's live video at the taste right now.
The hostess is leaning on the door.
Call her up,
Stan. I'm calling her.
We are 10 now.
Yeah, 210. There you go. She is. She
will. 110.
Yeah, 210. Nina's going to call her, absolutely. The beauty is we know the truth. We have an expression. She's on the phone right there. This is awesome. The fact is the eye and the sky don't lie. The eye and the sky don't lie. And when you see what people will do and the malarkey that they'll spin off in order to get what they want, and then you go back and see the truth and you just go like, people, what are you thinking here? Well, Nina usually diffuses these things and that listens to the person. They'll spin this tale of amazing, horrific things that happened to them. And she'll say, well, you know what? We have 56 high-definition video cameras. We'll be able to isolate it and really pick you up from the time you step out of your car until you step back in again. You'll usually hear either a click or a, oh. Stay with me on this for a second. We find the truth. And if you know the truth will set you free. And the key is, I had to accept the fact that every once in a while somebody is going to do something so ridiculously stupid that if I really thought that reflected on me, I would go nuts. I would lose my heart for people or for other business. It doesn't reflect on me. It reflects on where that person is at that moment. Now, who else has an eye in the sky? And I stand completely before him without any ability to spin that yarn either. And if he can forgive me, I can forgive even this knucklehead. I don't want him back as a customer, but I'm going to forgive him.
He's not coming back.
Do not allow when people do silly things or, you know, act up or, you know, send those emails or letters or whatever that affect you and your leadership and your class roles, do not let it affect your joy, your zeal, and your efforts.
1 Peter 4:9 says, offer hospitality without grumbling. Yeah. And friends, sometimes it's hard to not grumble. This has been a different type of week. It's been a hard week. God has so blessed all of us. He's blessed us with those that have come into this body to worship, the good, the bad, and the ugly. We're in ministry. And we do that ministry even tired without grumbling. Because God is so good. What a blessing and a gift it has been to be with you tonight. We were so honored when Brad Talbert called. And said, come, because you understand hospitality, come and talk about bringing people in, keeping them. How do we keep people from backing out of our door? What fun it is to be here and to talk to you about just how do we keep them? How do we love them unconditionally? I love that. Ed's going to close this, and then we have some door prizes. One is my favorite. So let's look. Yeah, chocolate cake. It's even better than that. Ed's going to close this.
Let's ask Lord's blessing upon this. Father God, I just thank you for a chance to come and visit with your servants. For Father, we all your servants, for what you have done for us in our lives, for the love and grace you have shown us through your Son, Jesus Christ. What can we do, Lord, except present the rest of our lives, our efforts, our heart, our spirit to service for you? And we believe, Father, that is in this church and these classes. Father, put us before those that would have us serve. Put us in a position of influence in our class to turn others to this point of service, this ultimate commitment to hospitality for your name's sake. And Father, let us be of great service to your people, the least, the lost, and those in need. And we ask these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Before I do the door prize, how many of y'all were blessed by Ed and
I got one right here.
Just, I will give you a gift card. And you've got
I've got mine. I have.
You want to do it the same way we did the other one?
Yeah.
By the years?
Yeah.
Okay. How many have we, class that, class directors?
Wait,
no?
wait. Okay. Because we've got some young people that haven't been doing that. Think of another one. The newest.
Yeah, first
time. Okay. The first. The newest.
Who's got 1 year or less in service, either a director or a teacher? 1 year or less. You're ineligible because you just won. Right. You're the one that called me the other night.
Here's one right here.
Let's tell me, how long?
Since September 27th.
Nice. Right, so we have a $100,
that's awesome.
$100 gift card for the Taste of Texas. But we ran out the door of the restaurant and it did not grab it. So I need your name, address, zip code, phone number, and I will mail it when I get to work in the morning.
To you.
Thank you so much.
And then please say hello when you're in, because we would love to have you.
Just remember, those cameras are everywhere. Your hostess is no longer leaning on the hostess.
I would just encourage you to go back out to your classes and can tell your class members. You went to a seminar and you committed to make your class the most hospitable and friendliest and outreach and warm and welcoming class in the entire city.